I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
It's time to get organized this new year with Menards. Update your closet system and add style today with Closet Culture. Choose from two closet finishes and four colors of shelf boards to create a functional yet stylish closet solution that matches your home decor. Check out all our Closet Culture closet kits or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com to see all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com. Network.
Green Edison!
Pro football full circle.
Circling. Oh, look out! Gronkowski didn't have the angle!
We are full throttle ahead on today's edition of Pro Football Full Circle, right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius Channel 159. Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel getting you prepared for week number 15 in the NFL. There's a lot of news and notes to get to, but Scott, COVID has taken front and center stage. Cleveland put 14 players on the COVID list, including head coach Kevin Stefanski and starting quarterback Baker Mayfield. The line yesterday had Cleveland instilled as a 5.5-point favorite. Now on FanDuel, Las Vegas is a short 1-point favorite in this ballgame. And on the flip side, you look at the LA Rams dominating Monday night win over the Arizona Cardinals. They opened up as 6.5-point favorites this weekend against Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks. Now the line is down to 4.5 with 9 players, including OBJ, on the list. I mean, what's going on, baby? I mean, this really is changing the last month of the season.
Yeah, it really is. I got to tell you, though, I like the Browns even more without Baker Mayfield. Mayfield stinks. Come on, please. Stop it already with Baker Mayfield. You know, the dopey Browns are going to give this guy $40 million and he sucks. Case Keenum, basically, he's a .500 quarterback. He's actually not that bad. So before you rush to the window, know that Keenum over his career, you know, a lot of this was, you know, based on that Minnesota Viking 1 year, but 32-42, not awful. 34-32-7 against the spread. So the guy is more than capable of beating the pathetic Las Vegas Raiders. And you know, it's kind of like the, you know, you don't have to look very far, Joe, when it comes to betting and these teams being decimated with COVID. Last night, Brooklyn Nets, seven guys out. Now, you still have Kevin Durant, I hear you saying. Okay, but the Browns still have Nick Chubb. And you know what? Less Baker, more Chubb. I'm okay with that. Absolutely. You know, so if they change their game plan and say, okay, obviously Baker's not playing, we're not going to throw the football, so let's give it to Nick Chubb 25, 30 times. Where do I sign on that? So I love the Browns. And the fact the line has dropped to, forget about dropping. It's gone through the ceiling and now has made Vegas a favorite. What are you kidding? I love Cleveland on that one. But ultimately, you got to be careful with some of this stuff. You know, who knows who's playing, who's not playing. These guys can still play for Cleveland. I'm surprised that FanDuel has the game on the board because, you know, they were favored by 4 or 5 yesterday, Joe, and then they drop it to 1. Then Baker, as long as he passes 2 tests by this weekend, And I don't know why he would or wouldn't, but, you know, but he can still theoretically play on Sunday. So he's not definitely out. So yeah, I'm surprised they would drop the line.
They're minus 104 on the money line. So just think about that right now. If you want to take a shot on Las Vegas, they're minus 112. It is back-to-back road games for the Raiders. They got blown out against Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes 48-9. Never showed up in the first half of that ball game. It was completely lights out after KC built a 35-0 first half lead. So you're going to need a monumental effort out of the running game. And that's been the one Achilles heel for the Raiders right now. Josh Jacobs fumbled on the opening drive last week. The consistency from week to week in terms of the rushing attack hasn't been there. But I'll say this about the other team that we mentioned, and that's the LA Rams going up against the Seattle Seahawks with Russell Wilson. This line was 6.5 yesterday, now down to 4.5. This is a game that I really like Seattle here now with 9 players potentially out, including maybe their best wide receiver in Odell Beckham Jr. The line dropped 2 points, but I really feel that the LA Rams could be in trouble in this ballgame, Scotty.
Well, and it also goes back to what you were saying yesterday. I don't steal your thunder, but I got to say, that Seattle Seahawks to make the playoffs at 24-1 just got a whole lot better, and it's still 24-1 on FanDuel. You know, if you're telling me the Seattle Rams game is getting closer to pick 'em because of all the concerns the Rams have with COVID, and now you got the Bears and Lions for the Seahawks after this, I mean, you know, you're looking at a team that might be heading into that final week of the regular season, albeit at Arizona, but still, you know, with a chance to make the playoffs. And even if they don't, you know, if you put $100 theoretically, Joe, on Seattle at 24-1, right, you're going to win $2,400. You could literally hedge this week on the Rams because now the Rams line is so down. It's only 2-1 on FanDuel, 205. We'll just say 2-1 on the money line. So you can put $100 on Seattle to make the playoffs, bet $100 on the money line on the Rams, say, hey, you bet a little bit. And if you know, if Seattle does win, I'm thinking they're beating Detroit and the Bears at home the next 2 weeks. And now you got a 24-1 ticket in your hand heading into the final week of the regular season.
Yeah,
not
that's
a bad
all you
play
can
right
ask
now.
For. Yeah, it's like a lottery ticket. I told you yesterday. I took it yesterday. I have it at 24-1. Might add to it before game time, and we'll see how that plays out. It is intriguing, though, that, you know, we talked about in the break that the college game had the issues with COVID last year. And now, as we enter bowl season, they're basically hitting on all cylinders. Only one game canceled due to COVID, USC and Cal. And now, on the flip side, we see all the problems with the NFL.
Yeah. Well, listen, I told you to break. I never believed the NFL numbers. I've been saying this for the last year. They were testing, 6,000-7,000 people a week. And that obviously is more than just players. That was front office people, secretaries. And they were coming back with, 3 positive tests. And I'm saying, how is that possible? I never bought the NFL numbers last year.
When Scott and I return, we'll be breaking down week number 15, diving into some of the better games this coming weekend. Tennessee and Pittsburgh coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Back on Pro Football Full Circle, Joe Lisi, Scott Wetzel getting you prepared for this Saturday and Sunday in the NFL. Big battle taking place in Heinz Field. We have Tennessee, a 1.5-point favorite on the road to face Big Ben and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Teams heading in opposite directions. Tennessee did get right this weekend as an 8.5-point home favorite over Jacksonville. Shut out the Jaguars 20-0. On the flip side, Pittsburgh was in striking distance to potentially tie that ball game up on the final drive against Minnesota. Touchdown pass in the end zone dropped by Freiermuth. Now, Scott, Pittsburgh, a 1.5-point dog on FanDuel, minus 110 either way. Total is very low, 41.5. This is tough because, you know, I'm still not bought into Tennessee without the running game, right? I'm not bought into Tannehill leading this team, just, you know, airing it out 400 yards per game. And at the flip side, I'm not a believer in Big Ben in this offense, but I said it earlier in the week that, you know, they might have found something in the second half after that tough start against Minnesota. The second half, they were running hurry up. They got the football out quick. Maybe this is a recipe over the last four or five games of the regular season where, you know, they put the ball in Big Ben's arms and they say, you know what? Lead us to victory. So I might lean Pittsburgh here early on, but I do think this game does go under the 41.5 point total in Hines this weekend.
Yeah, it's tough going an under on a 40, right? 41.5. That's not a lot of points. You could back into that. You could accidentally get that with a turnover, you know, a fluke play, special teams touchdown. I mean, I don't know if I would bet the over, but I don't. It's hard for me. I got to really love an under on that. You know, Pittsburgh not the same at home. Only 3-7 against the spread at home. I mean, they used to be unbeatable. You know, a lot of times that's a favorite in winning but not covering. Now they're actually an underdog at home. When's the last time the Steelers were a dog at home? You know, maybe earlier this year with Baltimore, but it doesn't happen often, we'll say that. You know, sometimes I just look back and say, you know, don't make this harder than it has to be, Joe. I got a team that's 9-4 versus a team that's 6-6-1, and I can get the 9-4 team basically a pick 'em. You know what? Give me Tennessee. Although we heard, our update guy say that Julio Jones might not play again. You know, boy, this guy is always hurt, just always hurt over the last couple of seasons. That would be a big blow to Tennessee. He's the key to it all. When he's in there, they're terrific. When he's not, without the big running back, then they're Derrick Henry. Then they're in trouble. But I would take Tennessee coming off.
Is he considered a bust at this point in terms of the offseason acquisition? I mean, bringing Julio Jones into this lineup now, hasn't really played, hasn't panned out. AJ Brown's on the IR. He's not on the IR. I mean, this team right now has lost its identity. So at the end of the day, they brought in Julio Jones to really solidify the passing game. So that way the team didn't have to rely on Derrick Henry so much. Henry's been out obviously for the last 4 or 5 weeks. And on the flip side, when you look at a couple of weeks ago when they did face New England, a very good defense, Tannehill, 93 passing yards on the afternoon. That's not going to cut it. It's not going to cut it, I'll tell you, against the Steelers this weekend. But more importantly, this team goes to the playoffs. They're going to need more balance than this.
Yeah. I mean, you think about it, Joe. Ryan Tannehill is their third leading rusher. I mean, so the throw out Derrick Henry. Okay, so without Derrick Henry, he's still number two, and it only by 15 yards over Deontay Foreman. And Henry's missed 5 games. There's been 5 games for other running backs, whether it's Adrian Peterson, Jermaine McNichols, or Foreman, somebody to rise up and be the man with Tennessee, and it hasn't happened. As like I said, Ryan Tannehill's basically on the top. So I wouldn't call Jones a bust. He's played 7 games. You know, they weren't necessarily an automatic playoff team, but they got him to win a Super Bowl. They got him, you know, we'll deal with the nonsense during the regular season. Be there, Julio, for the postseason. You know, I'm hoping, as a Tennessee ticket holder here, that they're just kind of being cautious with him in the regular season, and they don't want to have any serious injury. Get to the playoffs, and then we'll see the real Julio Jones.
Yeah, I'm going to lean to Pittsburgh early on, obviously make a best bet on this game a little bit later in the week. How about the toilet bowl?
You know, real quick, he hasn't, you know, looking at his numbers now, he hasn't scored a touchdown this year, Julio Jones.
That's what I'm saying. Is he a bust?
Wow. Is he considered a bust? Game. Well, he's not, just being in the lineup, especially when Derrick Henry was there, but otherwise, 4-4-2-3-3-6 in the overtime win against Seattle, by far his best game for 128 yards and 3. One game over 60 yards receiving all year.
I consider that a bust. I think he's been a big bust in terms of, and you got to credit Atlanta. They cut the fat when they saw the writing on the wall. Everybody was like, how could you get rid of Julio? You know, once these start, and you can make the argument that Julio Jones was sort of like Dez Bryant at the end of his career in Dallas. Once Dez Bryant got hurt, never the same again, they got rid of him, and he hasn't panned out, right? Obviously went to Baltimore, caught on, got hurt again, was supposed to go to New Orleans, tears the Achilles. So at the end of the day, once these star wide receivers get severe injuries, they're never the same again. Now, Julio Jones, the foot injury, that's a big cause of concern because you're planting, right? You're cutting off that foot. So once that happens, it's almost like a thoroughbred. Once they get nicked up, never the same again. Cut the ties. They're not worth the money at the end of the day. So we'll see how it pans out in that ball game in Heinz Field. I talked about the toilet toilet bowl. I can't believe that Jacksonville is 3.5-point favorites over Houston. The line opened up at 3. It's up to 3.5. People want to run Urban Meyer out of town. He looks miserable. He looks sick. He's like basically like they're putting out videos that he's like Hitler at this particular time in terms of bossing around his assistant coaches and the players. 39.5 is the total in this ball game, -110 either way. As much as I've been a backer of Jacksonville at the earlier part of the year, they shouldn't be 3.5-point favorites over anybody, Scotty.
No, they've scored 7 points in their last 2 games. They've scored 31 points in their last 4 games combined. I mean, that's a 1-game total for a lot of teams. I mean, they just can't score. I mean, whether they've given up or they're alienated the head coach or even the owner, Shad Khan. I'm very surprised, Joe, this week, today's Wednesday, right? So Monday, they asked him about, you know, what are you going to do with Urban Meyer? And I figured you get a quote from the owner saying, well, you know, what are you talking about? It's 1 year in. All right, things haven't gone well this year, but it's a building process and blah, 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 blah. You know, typical rhetoric. And he actually was debating with the media about whether he was going to bring Urban back, saying, you know, we gave Tom Coughlin 4 years, we gave Doug Marrone 4 years, but that was based on record. This circumstance is a little different. I don't know. He may be a one-and-doneer, Urban. He might be gone, and if that's the game, you're right, though. Ultimately, what are they? You know, they do play the Jets next week, so they can actually get back-to-back wins if you thought they were really serious about playing football, but I don't. I have more faith on Houston, with Houston rather than I do Jacksonville. I don't know how you want to make it a 3-point favorite, okay, because you're at home, but to make it 3.5, who's putting American money on Jacksonville? Have you watched this team play? I mean,
I know they're horrible, and the fact that if they were at least showing signs of a pulse, I would say, you know what, you could buy in. But now I was on Trevor Lawrence's passing total this past weekend, which was very low. It was like 214, 215. He got into the 220s in this ball game. But at the end of the day, they didn't put up any points against Tennessee. So at least Houston, for the most part, has been at least scoring. They were tied at least 10 up in that ball game against Seattle. I know they're a better, you know, home team than they are potentially road, even though they knocked out Tennessee a few weeks ago as a 10.5-point dog, but 39.5 is the total. And we just talked about Pittsburgh and Tennessee. I might have to go over here, Scott.
Again, it's hard to go under like 39.5. Two bad, just awful football teams. Sometimes that does lead to points. Sometimes the teams take this game a little more seriously than fans would because they actually want to win the football game. So it's not a bad play. 40. You know, it can't be like 0-0, right?
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think so. When we come back, we'll be breaking down that game in Mile High. Joe Burrow and Teddy Bridgewater coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Zach Taylor, head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals, came out after the loss to San Francisco and said, Scotty, that he believes the Bengals are a playoff team. Well, he certainly didn't coach like that in terms of last Sunday. In that performance, they fell behind 20-6. They made a second-half run and then obviously lost in overtime 26-23. And when we discussed this game earlier in the week, Denver opened up as a 1-point favorite over Joe Burrow and Joe Mixon, Jamar Chase, and the crew. Now the line's up to 2.5 in Mile High. Now, Denver did beat up on Detroit. That was playing very well. Got their first win about a week and a half ago against Minnesota. Had covered about 4 or 5 straight games. Got blown out in the second half. They also had 20 players that were affected due to a flu bug. But now we see about a 1.5-point line move in favor of Denver in this ballgame. Denver, -2.5 at -118 on FanDuel. Total set at 44, flat at -110. I'm going to back I'm going to back Joe Burrow and Cincinnati, barring that he definitely plays in this ballgame. I think this is a bounce-back spot. Have no confidence in Vic Fangio and the crew.
Yeah, me neither. And they had an emotional, just an absolute emotional win last week. Not necessarily because the game was closed, but with the Demaryius Thomas situation. Generally, you come down from that, and now you have your letdown spot, even though, you know, they're battling for a playoff position. But, you know, Denver up one week, down the next. It's very hard to figure this team out, right? So, to me, this is a down week, and this is a week where Cincinnati is one of those young teams, Joe, you see it all the time, that they're better as dogs than they are as favorites. You know, when people expect them to win, then that's a little bit more difficult for them to perform. When they're oh, it's the Bungles coming to town, no big deal. We're not going to take them seriously. That's when these teams, you know, seem to do a lot better. So I'm going to put Cincinnati in that spot, and I'll go with Cincinnati this weekend as well.
Yeah, we'll get into some of the later games, Scott, but we always talk about, you know, some of the fantastic weekly specials that FanDuel puts up. They did add first touchdown scorer for Sunday only, week number 15, and they have obviously some great names, almost every player listed, but, you know, leading the way is Leonard Fournette at 19-1. But, I mean, when you scroll down the list, Scott, and go all the way down to the bottom, you want to take a shot. I mean, you're getting 100-1 on some of these players. Any breakdown in terms of the handicapping perspective? I mean, you take a couple of dollars, you sprinkle it across maybe 20 guys, maybe you have a shot to hit a home run.
Yeah, and again, this is the time of the game thing. So you may say, well, eliminate all the 4 o'clock games. No, it's not like actual time clock. You know, it's if a guy scores 10 seconds into a 4 o'clock game or a Sunday night game, well, that's the winner. It's not because it happens to come at 8 o'clock at night. So know that. You know, look at teams that generally play well in the first quarter. You know, that come out throwing a football, they come out strong. New England Patriots come to mind, right? They always get the ball. Go against teams that you know if you can find out that they defer when they win the coin toss, so they're not getting the ball first, because it's all, like I said, it's all based on time. You got to figure out which team is going to score on its first possession. If you can find out how many teams have done that, that's where you go. But you are getting, these are the kind of odds I like. These, yeah, you know, 100-1, 70-1. Yeah, I like this stuff. You know,
yeah,
you got a kick returner in there. You got a kick returner in there. You know, guy returns an opening kick back for a touchdown. That gives you a little extra edge as well.
I know. Now, this is just for the 1 o'clock games that they have. But, like, I mean, okay, it's like a basic crapshoot. I mean, you would need, I mean, you're right. You know, teams that throw the football, teams that score on their first drive, yet we see Leonard Fournette, a running back, leading the way, which basically really isn't the strength of Tampa Bay's offense, right? Tampa Bay loves to throw the football with Tom Brady, and they're facing off against New Orleans as a 10.5-point favorite. At the end of the day, I mean, you know, New Orleans has owned Tampa Bay. They beat them earlier in the year in the Dome. Now they get a revenge spot, but why Fournette leading the way at 19-1? It is a little bizarre about how he's the one player outside of anybody else in terms of the top running backs.
Yeah, I'll give you one. How about Kyler Murray at 38-1? Coming off a disappointing loss, didn't play well. They got a patsy in Detroit. You know, they got to be chomping at the bit to get back out there and perform well. That's a team that, you know, you look at and you think, okay, they got a chip on their shoulder. They should come out strong. Now, whether he's the guy that scores the first touchdown, who knows? But at 38-1, so you got to look for little angles like that. And Tampa Bay with Brady is one of those teams, though, Joe, that comes out strong and then, you know, wants to put points on the board. Their first half numbers are phenomenal versus their second half numbers.
I'll tell you one player that jumps out to me, and even though I'm going against them in terms of the LA Rams because I do like Seattle, you would think that without OBJ and those nine players, Sony Michel at 41-1 may be worth a shot in terms of that ballgame, right? Seattle's front seven, they're good. They're not elite. They give up yards in terms of the run game. We know Sean McVay likes to pound the rock. Didn't do so against Arizona as much with Cooper Kupp stepping up. But Michelle got his yards anyway. So maybe he's a player at 41-1 to potentially break through. And then how about C.D. Lamb at 44-1 going up against the pathetic New York Giants? We know that Dak Prescott, Dallas, they chuck the football. They like to jump up early. Did so against Washington, jumping up 18-0. They jumped up, I believe, within the first 4 or 5 minutes of that ball game. So potentially at 44-1, you get the team's best wide receiver there on the road against the New York Giants.
How about Stephon Diggs, Buffalo Bills? Another team, you know, coming off a disappointing loss against the Buccaneers. At home against a bad Carolina team. You know, I'm going to come out flying. Buffalo's going to come out trying to make a statement, get that bad taste out of their mouths. He's their number one wide receiver. 41.
Yeah,
so the good
bad.
Thing about stuff like that, you know, you could grab 3-4. You know, you don't have to put a lot of money. They're not main plays. But, you know, you could put your $10 on like 4 or 5 of these guys at 30 to 40, 50 to 1. And you only have 7 1 o'clock games this week. I thought there were a lot more, but you got a bunch of 4 o'clockers this week. They spread it out nicely. So, you know, you're limiting. You got a ton of guys, obviously, but you are, when you start eliminating games, you know, it's a process of elimination, right? Jets, Dolphins, are they going to be, you know, any of those Jets, Dolphins? Probably not, right? I mean, those two teams, no, forget about that. Are the Lions going to score against the Cardinals? I don't think so. Are the Giants going to score against the Cowboys? I don't think so. Is Pittsburgh, you know, are they known for flying down the football field? No, eliminate the Steelers, right? Texans and Jaguars, I mean, I could see something fluky happen, but I kind of doubt that. So you can eliminate them. So, you know, all of a sudden you're down to like 4 or 5 teams. You know, you still got a bunch of players, but that's kind of how I would do it.
Yeah.
But I like that.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
I could see the New York Jet Dolphin game, right? All of a sudden, Tua to Gesicki within the 20 seconds, right?
Yeah.
20 seconds.
Yeah. Right? 20 seconds in.
80-yard touchdown pass, right? Gesicki, well, he scores with 14:32 left on the clock. That I could see something like that. It's crazy. No, but it does give you a bang for the buck, right? And like you said, you don't have to throw a lot. Yeah, hey, you throw $5 down on 10 guys, it's only $50, and they're giving you 40 to 1. Why not on some of these plays? When we talked about highest scoring game, would you think that the New York Giants and the Dallas Cowboys would come to mind? And I say that they're not listed in terms of the game right at the top. They're really plus 750, right? So the fifth choice. But FanDuel has the highest scoring team this week as the Dallas Cowboys at 7-1. Which is pretty interesting because we talked about it. Most likely it'll be Glennon yet again. Daniel Jones, he's done. He's toast for the year. They have no offense in New York Giants. They basically scored 7 points up until about 10 minutes left in the fourth, where they did get 2 gimme touchdowns to lose that ballgame, 37-21. But Dallas on the road here in MetLife, it's a little cold. Can you see them leading the way? I like Dallas. I don't think there's any way New York steps up. I know you lean to the Giants here, but give me your thoughts about Dak potentially having the biggest output in Week 15.
I don't really like that one. Although we were right last week, right, when we pointed out the Giants-Chargers line had, written all over it. And lo and behold, that game went way, way over. So you never know. If they're telling you Dallas should score a lot of points, what do they think the Giants have given up? The Giants defense has been bad of late, but it's actually been pretty good overall, I think, this year.
Right.
So I'm looking for a team that's going to put 40 on the board. Are the Cowboys going to put 40 on the board? I don't think so. I wouldn't go with that. I don't think they deserve to be the favorite, I'll tell you that.
There's one team that I think could be the favorite. How about Arizona? I mean, pitiful Monday night performance, right? We saw Detroit get abused by Denver. Right, yep. Now they come back home. It's the Dome. Arizona laying 12.5. The total's high, 47 and a hook. Could Arizona be maybe potentially the highest scoring team going up against a garbage team in the Detroit Lions? They're 8-1.
Yeah, that I like. That I do like, just because the same thing I was saying about Kyler Murray first touchdown. You know, they have to have a huge chip on their shoulder, right? Losing on national TV, chance to win, they look stupid looking and losing. So, I mean, if there was ever a team this week that wanted to come out flying and just, you know, keep the pedal to the metal, I would think it would be Arizona. So, 8-1, that's not bad.
It's
a process. You got so many teams, but you think it's not going to be Giants or Jets. Let something goofy happen. You know, there's only about a dozen teams, so it's pretty much even on what those odds really realistically should be.
Yeah, a couple of other notables: Cincinnati 26-1, Tennessee 26-1. You want to go a little deeper? You have Baltimore 44-1, and New Orleans playing Tom Brady and the Buccaneers 60-1. When we come back, we'll break down some other games in Week 15.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Scott and I left off talking about the highest scoring team for Week 15. We talked about some other teams that potentially have a shot. Arizona taking on Detroit. I left off, one of my better plays is Cincinnati and Joe Burrow, 26-1. Granted, they're going a mile high to face Denver's defense, but that could be a high-scoring game. I like the way they match up against the secondary. Scott, we also talked about potentially San Fran at 10-1 against the Falcons, and you like Green Bay at 22-1 going up against the Baltimore Ravens. They did put up 45 against Chicago this past Sunday.
Yeah, I think that's pretty good. This Ravens team's in a whole lot of trouble. Now, you generally like another team to score in order to force you to score some more, but I do have this as a blowout for Green Bay. But, you know, Green Bay's kind of getting it into gear right now. The Ravens' defense is awful. I can't believe that this team is 8-5. There's some of the wins that they've had this year. So I think Green Bay is more than capable of putting 40 on the board again. You look at the numbers that they've put up over the last couple of weeks, 45, you mentioned it against the Bears, 36 against the Rams, 31, albeit in a loss, but still 30 plus against the Vikings. I mean, last 3 weeks, you know, they put over 100 points on the board. So you want to give me 22-1 in a situation where, the weather so far looks like it's going to be okay, outdoors here in Baltimore? 22-1. I like the Packers. Definitely like
it. Yeah, we'll see how that plays out. It is a 1 o'clock kick in Baltimore. Aaron Rodgers and the crew back on the road to face. Now, we think Lamar Jackson says he's basically a day-to-day, but we'll see. It's most likely going to be Huntley in that matchup. At least I believe that heading into the ball game. We'll break it down as the week progresses. But let's turn our attention to the game in Lincoln Financial. Philadelphia now is 6.5-point favorite over Washington. Washington was a big play for a lot of people last week, catching at the start 4.5 points. They bet it up to 6.5 right before kick. Dallas jumped out to the 18-0 first half lead, held on 27-20. Total is set at 44.5. Jalen Hurts comes back potentially for that offense, but I don't care. I still think the better team at this point in the season is Washington, is Taylor Heineke, even though Philadelphia coming out of the bye week here.
Yeah, that's a big number, though, Joe. I mean, let's find out who's actually playing for Washington. But, you know, unless the entire offense is decimated, you're giving me almost a touchdown against Jalen Hurts, really, in Philadelphia. I know that was a big emotional loss for Washington, but you know what? They played so bad, even though it ended up being a close game. I can't help but think that Washington's kind of rallied the troops here, and then you're going to get the riot act read to them all week by their head coach. So I think, you know, 6.5 is a huge number. I don't like teams having buys this late in the season. I think it's difficult for these teams to get refocused. I really do. I much prefer having a buy earlier on in the year. But that said, I'll take Washington plus the near touchdown. And I think that's even going to go even higher, right? You might even get the full touchdown before everything is said and done.
Now this is a game where I like Washington on the money line, plus 235. I mean, I'm willing to take a shot with them. I'm just not sold on Philadelphia. I mean, they're coming out of the win against the New York Jets. Gardner Minshew stepped up. But at the end of the day, as long as we have the foundation there of Washington, and as long as Heineke's making the start, right? I mean, are we sure that anybody's out in this ballgame for Washington, or we're just up in the air? But at the end of the day, basically a touchdown in a divisional game, I'm not sold that they just don't run the football on the front seven of Philadelphia. I think it maybe leans to the under, 44.5. I mean, it was right there, Dallas 27-20. I think Washington plus 235 could be a live dog in this ballgame because of the physicality that you mentioned, the fact that they're coming off a loss to Dallas. They had some turnovers that really put their offense into a tough spot playing from behind. But that being said, on an even field, even though they're on the road, I like Washington to potentially strike the upset here.
Yeah, me too. Listen, they're both bad football teams, so why should one team be favored by a touchdown basically over the other? And they're both right there, you know, both battling for playoff spots. You know, whether it's in Philadelphia or Washington, you know, a lot of times it doesn't even matter with these two teams. So, yeah, that's an inflated number. Again, you generally have to wait now until the end of the week to make sure who's in, who's out. We know Logan Thomas is out. McKissick might play. But it looks like it's going to be Heinicke, I think, back in there. Not, and even Kyle Allen is not, you know, he played well last week, you know, fairly well until that last play. But I still say that with the forward pass. Yeah, he's mobile. He's just as good. He's had good games. So I wouldn't let that bother me too much.
No,
I don't
know
about the over-under or not, but I do like Washington.
Yeah, I agree with you. So we'll see how that game plays out. Talk about inflated lines. Buffalo, I mean, they were in striking distance. They were absolutely terrible in the first half. They start out very slow, inconsistent. Tom Brady and the Buccaneers build a 24-3 first half lead. Second half, Josh Allen breaks a 29-yard touchdown run. They're back into striking distance. They claw their way tied 27 apiece. And then somehow, some way, they let Breshad Perriman one-on-one with a linebacker, which is beside me because I was catching the 3.5. He goes 58 yards in that ballgame. I mean, that was terrible. I mean, you can't play zone in that particular. Just lose by the field goal. No, they have to lose by the touchdown. But now they go back home, and they're laying 10.5 to the Carolina Panthers. I know they abused Houston and Washington earlier in the year, but I'm inclined to take the 10.5 points with the Panthers in this ballgame.
First of all, I'll tell you, Perriman, he has 4 receptions all year, including that one. 4 all year, and the guy's a hero. So, but that said, I'm Carolina is great. 9-1 against the spread as road dogs. That's pretty. And historically, when Juan Rivera was there, they were always good against the spread as underdogs. But Cam Newton, who I assume he's going to start, Joe, 7-19 straight up his last 26 games, 8-18 against the spread. He's been nothing short of awful. How they ever gave this guy $10 million, I'll never understand that contract. But that said, you got Buffalo in a prime spot. I got to go with the Bills. Don't like laying double digits, but when you look back at the games that they've lost and then the game that they play after they lose, they do, whether it's the benefit of an easy schedule or they get refocused, I don't know what, but they tend to win those games. You know, lose against Pittsburgh, beat Miami 35-0. Lose against Tennessee, beat Miami by 15. Lose against the Jaguars, beat the Jets by 28+. Lose against the Colts, beat the Saints by 25. You notice a pattern here? I mean, outside of Patriots and then Bucks, and you'll give an excuse because it's the Buccaneers, they do tend to bounce back and play much, much better. So double loss here that they got to come off. And though they got the Patriots next week, so I think they beat up on the Panthers.
You know what I like, though, better than a side in this ballgame? 43.5, I think, is light. Because if you're Buffalo and you know you started slow against the Tampa Bay defense, you got to believe that Josh Allen and McDermott and the crew are saying, we need to put the pedal to the metal right from the get-go. There is no tomorrow, right? We can't be complacent. We can't run the football. Let's attack them early and often, and let's tack a 14 or a 20 spot on them, and then we could rely on our defense. So 43.5 to me, I could see Buffalo getting into the high 30s, and I could see Carolina maybe running the football. Now, I don't love Cam through the air, but at the end of the day, I think they can run on them, right? And that's been the recipe against the front 7 for Buffalo. You give up, basically, what did Jonathan Taylor rush for? 187 2 weeks ago? The Patriots tack it on for 222. Now you have Cam Newton. He can't throw, but he can run. So maybe they look to run at will, and maybe at least they get into the high 20s, maybe even the 30s. Maybe it's a 35-31 shootout in Buffalo.
Yeah. I don't know if the Panthers are going to be in a shootout, but I could see Buffalo putting 30+ on the board. As it goes back to what we were saying earlier about who scores first with Stephon Diggs and then highest scoring team, you could see Buffalo. That's pretty good thinking. Is right. They fell behind 24-3 early on. Game basically over for them until they made the comeback. So I could see them making a concerted effort to come out flying this week. So
yeah.
I do like the over as well. I don't think they'll stop scoring this week.
Yeah, so let's talk briefly about the first game on the board, Kansas City and L.A. L.A. did get the victory earlier in the year in Arrowhead. Now Kansas City just on a six-game heater. I mean, put them up and just knock them down. That's all that Kansas City defense is doing. Maybe the best defensive effort that we've seen over the last 3 years with Spagnuolo and the crew. I mean, just dominating opposing offenses, forcing turnovers. They do it early. They do it often. They do it at home and on the road. Now they're laying three to Justin Herbert and the L.A. Chargers that beat up on Mike Glennon and the New York Giants. I think everybody's going to pile on KC here. And maybe L.A. just has their numbers. So give me the home dog. I think they potentially strike the upset as a plus 134 money line underdog in this matchup, Scotty.
They may just have their number. You're right. It may just be one of those goofy things, division game. You know, you see it every once in a while where one team can be so much better than the other overall, but when they meet up, it's always a close game. So this is what, you know, one of two really big games, and then maybe we'll break down the other with Patriots and Colts. But, you know, if you're a wild card hopeful, you're really obviously rooting for Kansas City. You got to get the Chargers back into the fold here, back where they don't have that one-game lead over everybody else and that one-game cushion. Because if the Chargers were to win this one, it's not looking good for our beloved Dolphins, which, again, I'll explain here in a little bit. But I think Kansas City, Joe, wins the game. To me, they're the better team, and they're playing good. Offense still isn't quite there, but what better team to go up against that Charger pathetic defense, you know, which gave up three touchdowns to the Giants, for goodness sakes. So I would take Kansas City laying the three, especially knowing they lost to the Chargers earlier in the year.
Well, you talk about that wild card spot, right? And the teams that are eyeing them down in terms of L.A. has to be Cincinnati, because Justin Herbert and the Chargers have the head-to-head that they won a couple weeks ago, 41-22. And Denver, right? Both teams are squaring off against each other. You have Cincinnati plus 156 to make the playoffs and Denver at plus 320. So if you think Kansas City wins, do you take a flyer before this game on both of those teams to make the playoffs?
Well, I tell you, here's how I look at it, Joe. The biggest game on the board by far is Indianapolis and the Patriots. If the Colts win, the wild card race is over for basically everybody, especially our Dolphins. And you may say, well, why? Well, you got to look at it let's look at it realistically here real quickly, right? You got the four division leaders. You have the Chargers at 8-5. They got the Texans on their schedule. They got the Raiders on their schedule. They got a pretty easy schedule. Even if they lose, they're going to get a wild card spot. They'd have to fall apart completely. You have the Bills on there. They have their number 7 spot. Now, I know they're 7-6, but you look at their schedule. They got the Jets, the Falcons, and the Panthers at home. They're not losing. They could lose to the Patriots next week, but they're not losing to those other teams. They're just not. So they're going to get 10 wins. So there's two of the three wild card spots. The only one that's left, the Indianapolis Colts spot. If they beat the Patriots and go to 8-6, that's done. They win all the wild cards. They win all the tiebreakers because they're going to have the best conference record. And they beat the Dolphins if you want to go head-to-head with the Dolphins. So, and they look at their rest of the schedule, Las Vegas at home, Jacksonville. And they do play at Arizona, but they could lose that Arizona game. They're not losing those other games. The wild card race in the AFC is over if the Colts beat the Patriots this weekend.
And Colts are 2.5-point early favorites on FanDuel to the yes for the Colts to make the playoffs, minus 160. When we come back, we'll wrap it up. Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Wrapping up today's show, we left off talking about the final wild card spot. Scott had mentioned that this ball game in Indianapolis really is the key for a couple of the teams that we broke down in terms of Denver and Cincinnati. We talked about Indianapolis being a 1.5-point favorite at the start of the week. Now money coming in on Jonathan Taylor, Carson Wentz. They're up to 2.5, minus 112. But I got to be honest with you. I told you I've been going against the Patriots all year long, right? I've mushed them to this point. Now I'm going to jump on their bandwagon. I'm going to take them on the road, plus the 2.5, minus 108. I'm going to take them plus the 118. But I do feel the game sails through the 45.5, Scotty.
I could see that being a higher scoring game. It'll be interesting to see the Patriots up against a team that without weather conditions, but that can run and throw the football a little bit. Let's see how great they really are. Are they a product of their schedule over the last few weeks, or are they really, really, a great team? So we need the Patriots to win. So I'm going to bet the Colts, just to put the Wetzel black cloud on the Colts. Yeah, everyone in the AFC is going to owe me a bone here because I'm going to bet the Colts, and this way they lose, and all the other teams in the AFC will now remain alive for a wild card spot. How about that?
Well, Indianapolis is minus 160 to make the playoffs, right? But take it a step further. Would you? I mean, I wouldn't, but would you bang them out right here, right now, 30-1 to win the Super Bowl? I can't stand Carson Wentz, but if they can run the football with Jonathan Taylor, do they have a shot should they knock off the Patriots in this ballgame?
You know, if they ever got T.Y. Hilton back, you know, he's like their version of Julio Jones, right? You really add another weapon to their offense. I don't have faith in Carson Wentz for that, to do that. It's not that difficult, but it is, you know, the teams in the AFC, like the NFC, but... You know, they could have home field advantage throughout the postseason, too, as crazy as that sounds, believe it or not. But, No, that's not good. I can't put money on Wentz to win it all.
On the flip side, you have New England is plus 750 to win it all. For Scott Wetzel, Andrew Torres, I'm Joe Lisi. We'll see you tomorrow breaking down that ballgame, Kansas City and L.A. Have a great day, everyone.